What's up, guys? Quick shout out before I begin this episode. I want to say happy birthday to my mom, as today is her birthday, October 12th. Thank you for being you. I love you. All right, guys, let's get into it. Enjoy today's episode. What's up, everyone? It's your boy Rob here. Welcome to an entertainment episode of the Flame Entertainment and Sports. I hope you all are doing great out there. On today's show, I'm going to be covering week three of season 32 of Dancing with the Stars. I'll also be giving my thoughts on Pete Davidson, as he will be returning to the SNL stage this weekend, as he will be making his hosting debut on Saturday, October 14th. And the final topic for today's entertainment edition of the podcast will be Taylor Swift, as her film, Taylor Swift The Eras Tour Concert Film, hits theaters nationwide tonight, October 12th. So make sure to go check that out. With all that said, make sure to check out the description of today's episode so you can see the timestamps and you know exactly when I'm going to cover each topic. Thank you all for tuning in, and let's get into it. All right, guys. So the first topic on today's entertainment episode of the Flame Entertainment and Sports will be night three of season 32 of Dancing with the Stars. So as I've done for the first 2 weeks of this season of Dancing with the Stars, I'm going to be going couple by couple, starting with the couple that first danced to begin the night and ending with the final couple that danced in night three of season 32. I will be giving my score, and I'll be giving the score that they received from the judges. Before I get into all of this, just a side note. So for this week of Dancing with the Stars, there's actually four judges. Usually there's three, Bruno, Derek, and Carrie Ann. This week there was four, as Good Morning America co-anchor and Super Bowl champion Michael Strahan was the guest judge this week on Dancing with the Stars. So now that I have that out of the way, actually one more thing. So like I said, usually three, right? So usually the maximum that a couple could get is 30 points, but of course with a fourth judge, the maximum is 40. So just keep that in mind in terms of how I scored and how they received their scores. So with all that said and done, let's get into it. So the first couple of the night was Barry Williams and PETA. So I thought Barry and PETA did a tremendous job. I continue to see Barry get better and better each week. From week one to week two, I believe he got better. And from week two to week three, I think he got even better. I gave Barry and PETA a 29. The judges gave them a 25. And one more thing before I move on past Barry and PETA. Barry's smile is so infectious. It makes you want to smile, puts you in a good mood, makes you so happy. I just wanted to get that out there. Following Barry and PETA was Lele Pons and Brandon. So Lele, I feel in each week so far of this season, I feel that at the end of all of her performances, the main word that comes to my head is potential, right? I say potential. The main thing with Lele, in my opinion, is she has to get everything more cleaned up, more on point in terms of like correctly doing everything. So with that said, I gave Lele and Brandon a 25, and they received a 27. So already me and the judges are not on board or on the same team in terms of the first two couples of the night. Following them was Mauricio and Emma. Of course, last week, Mauricio, unfortunately, in the middle of his routine, he forgot the steps, but he ended greatly. And I'm happy to say that this week Mauricio had his best dance of the season so far. I thought him and Emma did an absolutely incredible job. In terms of how the judges viewed it, it seemed as if they were happy that he remembered everything, but they weren't very impressed, which I didn't understand whatsoever. I thought the judges were way off here with their scoring on Mauricio and Emma. I gave Mauricio and Emma a 31 and they received a 23. So me and the judges were once again not on the same board, and for Mauricio and Emma specifically, we're way off and not on the same page at all. Following Mauricio and Emma was Jason Mraz and Daniela. They've been the best couple week in and week out, and I'm happy to say this week they're the best couple once again. I gave them a perfect score of 40. Last week I gave them a perfect score of 30, and I still don't understand how they haven't received a perfect score. I know, whatever, oh, it's early in the competition, it was only the third week, this and that, the judges typically don't do that, I understand that they typically don't do that, but Jason and Daniela aren't just a typical couple. Right now, so I'm gonna post this a little clip now on Instagram, right? So for those of you that are watching Dancing with the Stars this season, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who have watched in the past, for those of you who have never watched Dancing with the Stars and have a deep passion for dancing, please watch Dancing with the Stars on Tuesday nights, because Jason Mraz and Daniela are arguably the best couple that this show has ever seen in its 32 seasons. And I believe that wholeheartedly. They're arguably the best couple in the history of this show. So yeah, that's my Instagram clip for this episode. So yeah, I think that pretty much sums up how I feel about Jason and Daniela. This is an absolutely incredible job. Like I said, I gave them a perfect 40 out of 40, and the judges gave them a 34. Following Jason and Daniela, I had no, I had I mean following Jason and Daniela was Allison Hannigan and Sasha Farber, one of my favorite couples on the season. I talk about them, and I just love their personality. I love how much charm and charisma they both have, and such great energy. I think Allison and Sasha had their best dance of the season so far. I gave them a 33. The judges and I once again were not on the same page, as they received a 24, which I didn't understand whatsoever. I thought Allison made huge strides this week, but it is what it is. I can't make the official scores. Only the judges can, and unfortunately, we're not in the same view path for Allison and Sasha. Following them was Tyson and Jenna. So Tyson in week one, I thought he was the worst dancer of the night, and then in week two, I did see a lot of improvement. But unfortunately, I saw some regression in week three. I was not entertained by this performance whatsoever. With that said, as always, shout out to the GOAT, Jenna Johnson. She's just an absolute badass, as I always say. I gave Tyson and Jenna a 19, and the judges gave him a 20. So finally, a score that me and the judges were close on. Next up was Charity Lawson, of course, the former Bachelorette, and Artem, who came back after missing last episode due to being out with COVID. So Charity and Artem, another absolutely incredible performance for them. Another great job by Charity. I gave them a 31, and they received a 32. I feel that Charity, week in and week out, she's shown that she's a true contender in this competition. And as soon as she gets more loose with it and has some more fun and has less tension, I feel that she's going to be even better, which is scary because she's already been amazing. Following them was Mira and Gleb. Mira and Gleb, I thought in week one, came out as one of the most surprising couples, as they did way better than what I think people expected of them. Then in week two, I thought they were pretty good. And week three, unfortunately, in my opinion, was their worst dance so far. I gave them a 23 on the night, and they received a 26. So the judges thought more highly than I did of their performance in Motown Night. Following them was Ariana Madix and Pasha. Ariana and Madix, Ariana and Pasha have been arguably, I would say, the second best couple this season, right behind Jason and Daniela. And Ariana and Pasha, I'm happy to say they had an incredible performance. I feel it was a huge bounce back performance from their week two Latin night dance. I gave them a 33 on the night, and they received a 34 from the judges, tying them with Jason and Daniela for the highest scores of the night. So Pasha and Daniela, the married couple, they're tied at the leaderboard for night three of season 32 of Dancing with the Stars, which is just incredible to see. And before I move on to the next couple, I do want to mention a note that I have here that I wrote after Ariana and Pasha performed. I put first couple finale coming, meaning I really believe that Daniela and Jason and Pasha and Ariana will be there at the end, barring any major setbacks from occurring as we move on in this competition. Following them was Adrian Peterson and Britt Armstrong. I think AP and Britt had an incredibly impressive bounce back performance. In week one, I thought they came out as like the fourth best couple. Week two was a huge downgrade in my opinion, but to me, in week three, this performance put them at the top again. Unfortunately, me and the judges did not see eye to eye whatsoever on this dance, as I gave AP and Britt a 31, which is one of my highest scores I gave out for night three. And unfortunately, they received a 22 from the judges, which I think is absolute BS. I didn't think they deserved that whatsoever. But as I've said, I can't make the final decisions here in terms of what scores these couples get. I could just give my opinion out here, and I do want to say I think it was like I said already, an incredibly impressive bounce back performance for AP and Britt. Following them was Harry and Riley. I would call them the couple that's been the social media sensation of this season. It looks like they allegedly may be a couple, as they were recently spotted holding hands at a concert a couple weeks ago. When Tate McRae performed in LA. Harry and Riley, I gave them my lowest score of the night. I wasn't really impressed. I gave them a 16. They received a 24, so obviously the judges thought way more highly of them. With that said, although they did receive my lowest score, I do think that Harry could be a lot better than this. But I was just really shocked that I didn't see any improvement come from week two to week three, because I did see a lot of improvement. Or actually, I gave him a high night one score, so I don't even know, because what I would say to sum it up is, like, this was my least enjoyable dance of the three dances they've done. But yeah, we'll see what happens. And then the final couple of the night was Sochi and Val. Of course, Sochi and Val coming off an incredible week two performance. I've been high on this couple from night one, and I'm happy to say they did another absolutely incredible job, as they received my second highest score of the night behind Jason and Daniela, as I gave Sochi and Val a score of 35. The judges gave them a 32. But yeah, another kick-ass performance for Sochi and Val. Super entertaining, a lot of high energy, and they just did an incredible job to end the competition. Now to get into the bottom two and the elimination of night three, on night three of season 32 of Dancing with the Stars. So for the bottom two, I'm going to give who I thought would be in the bottom two, and then what actually happened, and same for the eliminated couple. So for the bottom two, following Sochi and Val's performance, the final performance of the night, I typed down my bottom two, and I had Tyson and Mira in the bottom two. Unfortunately, the Dancing with the Stars, I guess they're running behind on time due to having an extra fourth judge. They didn't really necessarily announce who was actually the bottom two, as they had Harry and Riley out there, Allison and Sasha, and Tyson and Jenna. And with all that said, ultimately, I predicted that Tyson would get eliminated, and that is, in fact, what happened on night three, aka Motown night of season 32 of Dancing with the Stars. I hope you guys enjoyed, my thoughts on night three, like I said, of season 32 of Dancing with the Stars. If you guys have any other opinions or anything you want to mention about Motown night on Dancing with the Stars, you know where to reach me on Instagram at Rob Gao, that's RobCao, at the Flame _ES, also on Instagram. Or you could also reach out to me through email at tfesrob@gmail.com. Sorry about that. With all that said, like, I hope all my Dancing with the Stars people, I hope you guys enjoyed this segment, and I'm very much looking forward to night four of Dancing with the Stars next week. All right, guys, so the next topic I'm going to be covering here on today's entertainment edition of the Flame Entertainment and Sports is Pete Davidson returning to the Saturday Night Live stage, as SNL has their first show following the writer's strike, which will be premiering on Saturday, October 14th. And Pete, as I said, will be making his return since leaving the show, and as he will be making his guest hosting debut on the show. For those of you that don't know, I've talked about him a couple times here on the podcast, but I'm a huge Pete Davidson fan. He's one of my favorite actors, one of my favorite comedians out there. And I just think it's going to be very cool as soon as that episode starts and you see Pete making his debut as a host on the show, coming back to the show where he really rose to fame and where America really fell in love with him. Not just all these high-profile women he's been with, but I would say that America really fell in love with Pete due to his, obviously, charisma, his funniness, and just his likability. He just has a very good energy to him, and I feel he's a very likable person. So I'm very excited to see Pete return to the Saturday Night Live stage. That said, in general, in terms of Saturday Night Live, it's gonna be great that the show and all of the cast members, out of the writers, everyone involved with the show, it's great that they're finally gonna be able to get back to work, and they're gonna showcase and do what they love to do. You know what I mean? It's gonna be amazing. Of course, the late night talk shows have come back into swing. Within the last weeks, Jimmy Fallon, he's been back. All these guys have been back again. So it's only right that SNL is gonna be back, and who better to have as their first host back than Pete Davidson? And I'm glad they kept their promise to him, because prior to the writer's strike, they were planning on having Pete as a guest host for one of their upcoming episodes. And yeah, speaking of Saturday Night Live, I do wanna talk about Marcelo Hernandez, who was added to the show this season, prior to this season debuting. He's a Miami boy, a fellow Miami boy, so I want to make sure to shout him out on here. In the episodes that he has been in, I think he's been hilarious. Of course, they've allowed him to use his Hispanic side, but in general, not just with the Hispanic stuff, with everything in general, I think he's just done a great job, and it's been so cool to see a fellow, like I said, Hispanic Miami boy on the SNL stage on the greatest sketch comedy show of all time. It's just amazing to see. Yeah, I think he's done an incredible job so far, like I said. And speaking of SNL cast members, I also want to talk about Chloe Fineman. She's one of my favorite Saturday Night Live cast members of all time. Obviously, she's a beautiful woman. She's hilarious. And yeah, she has great energy as well. She gives me like great vibes. I love her personality. So yeah, I'm glad I brought her up, because I'm a huge fan of Chloe Fineman, and yeah, I think she's really under the radar, underappreciated, and she doesn't get the love and recognition that she deserves. But maybe this writer's strike will make people realize how amazing she actually is, and people start giving her the credit and respect that she deserves as, like I said, arguably one of the best cast members that this show has ever seen. And with all that said, make sure to tune into SNL October 14th, this Saturday night, to see Pete Davidson back in action as he makes his hosting debut on the show. And also, Ice Spice will be the musical guest. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on the upcoming Saturday Night Live episode starring Pete Davidson. All right, guys. So for the final topic on today's entertainment episode, I'm going to be talking about Taylor Swift as her brand new film, Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour concert film, will be premiering in theaters nationwide starting tonight, October 12th. Taylor was at the world premiere of her film in the Grove in Los Angeles at the AMC theater over there on Wednesday. So yesterday, on October 11th, she looked absolutely beautiful at the world premiere of her film. She was wearing a very nice blue dress. She surprised some of the individuals who were invited to watch the movie. She walked into the theater. And yeah, all of her fans there were very excited to see her. She gave a quick little speech before the showing began of her movie. And yeah, I just want to say it's incredible that Taylor, due to the success of her Eras Tour, that she's been able to make a movie out of it, and not just succeed solely by the concert, but also adding a movie just adds even more what do you call it? More facts or more backing into her being arguably the greatest musician and most popular musician that the world has ever seen. I've talked about her now, I don't know how many episodes in a row already, but it's just so impressive. Like, I feel like every day something new comes out that shows how beloved she is and how successful she is, and that goes back to all the hard work that she's put in from the beginning of her career. All the heart she performs with, everything she does, has led her to this moment. As I said, as arguably the most beloved celebrity, beloved musician in the world, Taylor Swift is just incredible, and it's incredible as well to see the loyal fan base that she's built, and of course in the Swifties, and to see how they keep up to her, keep up to date with her, every minute. They never miss a beat, and it's just so exciting that she's now gonna be able to showcase her passion that she's put into her concerts and all the hard work, and to movie theaters worldwide, and especially for those who weren't able to attend any of her concerts, or for those people who she hasn't come to their city yet. Perhaps she plans on going there next year, as that is the case here in Miami, and she'll have three shows here in 2024 at Hard Rock Stadium, home of my Miami Dolphins and Miami Hurricanes. But besides that, yeah, it's just incredible to see all the accomplishments that Taylor continues to do day in and day out. And yeah, and with that said, I am looking forward to going to watch this concert film in the movie theaters at my local AMC that I love to go to. And yeah, I had to make sure to cover this on here because it's just a incredible another historical achievement to add to Taylor Swift's legendary career. And yeah, shout out to all the Swifties once again. I hope you guys enjoyed my thoughts on Taylor's upcoming movie. And yeah, if you guys want to give me your thoughts, or you want me to talk anything else for you, involving Taylor, you know where to reach me via Instagram at Rob Gao, ROBCAO, or at the flame underscore ES, or you could also email me at tfesrob@gmail.com. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's entertainment edition of the Flame Entertainment and Sports. Make sure to follow us on social media at Instagram at Rob Gao. That's ROBCAO. You could also follow us at the flame underscore ES. And yeah, if you guys want to give me any of your opinions on anything I covered here, if you guys want me to cover something else on next week's entertainment episode, make sure to reach out to me via social media or email. And yeah, I really appreciate everyone out there who's tuned in. Wherever you're listening at right now, if it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music, I'd really appreciate you guys to give me a rating, a review. It really helps in the long run. If you guys know anyone who you think will enjoy any of these topics that I covered on today's show, please make sure to share this episode with them. And with all that said, thank you once again. Until next time, everyone, take care.